I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Heidi DeCoup. She is the founder and CEO of CashFlowy.ai. Heidi is a serial entrepreneur known as the Optimizer for helping tens of thousands of entrepreneurs optimize their businesses and lives. Over the last 24 years, she's built 4 businesses. My goodness, that's a lot of work, with 50% plus profit margins, and successfully sold 3 of them, including a 7-figure exit. Pioneer of online marketing, Heidi's latest venture is CashFlowy.ai, an elegant AI-driven bookkeeping, client invoicing, and cash flow management software designed for small businesses that eliminate the need for a human bookkeeper. Heidi, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Craig.
And I, you know, it's funny, every time I run into somebody from, you know, usually it's CFOs, fractional CFOs that I talk to, the number one pain they remove for people is helping them understand their numbers. Mm-hmm. And it's hard, you know, so many businesses, it's like QuickBooks has a stranglehold on small businesses. And it is not user friendly
at all.
Well, you know, we were chatting in the green room, and it's interesting. We had kind of parallel COVID journeys. You know, obviously, you know, those that know me know I was in the hospital, but you were like, you said you were in the process of selling a business, going through a divorce, fighting off COVID. And
moving to a new city simultaneously.
Yeah. Wow. And yeah, you sold the business, you made all that work. And I mean, I had a very near miss with my business regarding the books, regarding QuickBooks specifically. I've been using QuickBooks Desktop. I've been staying with that. And, you know, they've been pushing hard to get people over to the online version. And finally, I was like, in July of 2021, I told a buddy of mine, I'm like, hey, what would it take to get me to QuickBooks Online? And he told me, and he set me up, and he, you know, he had access to the account and what have you. And so he moved me over to QuickBooks Online on July 15th. 2021. And I had no idea at the time that 16 days later, I'd wake up with a deadly disease that would put me in the hospital another 10 days after that and a coma. Right. And I look back on that, and I'm just so thankful that I had done that, because he made sure my employees got paid, my vendors got paid. He made sure my family got paid. He met with my wife regularly to help her know how much money we had, and, you know, would take help her make decisions. And, you know, thank goodness they didn't have to file my taxes during that time or do any type of advanced reporting. It would have been a complete disaster. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the problem for businesses is running the books, especially small businesses.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're a bigger, more complex business and you can then afford to hire an accountant, and like you said, you maybe even addition to your accountant or bookkeeper, you have like, say, a fractional CFO working for you. You have what you need, right? You have those advantages. You don't actually have to deal with the clunkiness of QuickBooks because you have your people doing that for you. You have your people really explaining what's going on in your business and helping you make those data-driven decisions. However, for a much smaller business that can't afford all of that, it's like a disaster. And even the other solutions out there, like say a FreshBooks, a Xero, they're still too big and complex and have so many features that what I call like micro business, solopreneurship type business, or even just a less complicated business needs. And then in addition to that, even if, let's just say they're successfully using like a Xero, have their financial reporting, they are tax ready, but rarely do they actually know their numbers and what they mean and how to make data-driven decisions from them. Often, talking to even quite successful small businesses that have been around a while, you start talking about KPIs, key performance indicators, and they're kind of lost, right? And so that was why I ended up launching Cashflowy, my software, which has a built-in AI financial coach. So yeah, we're going to do a better job of your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax prep for a small business, like a solopreneur, not a bigger business with more complications, but a smaller business. The AI is really smart. Things are very automated. You don't need a human bookkeeper. But in addition to that, you get this really savvy AI financial coach that understands your business and gets to know it better and better and better and shows you these are the KPIs you need to be looking at. Right now, your biggest problem is, say, client retention, or these services or these offerings are your most profitable. These are your least profitable. This is what it, your cost per acquisition looks like. Other people in your industry are usually spending X percentage on marketing and you're spending Y, or you have a lot of software subscriptions in comparison to other, people in your industry running those businesses. So those kinds of insights we can now give through the power of AI.
Now, when you say numbers, what are the numbers? What, because for me, I have limited capacity to think about all this stuff. What are the numbers I should be tracking?
Well, it's going to depend on your business, but our target market with Cashflow is a solopreneur, meaning you are kind of a one-person-ish business. You might have an assistant and a designer and a web guy or whatever, some contractors, but the business is really you. You are a coach, a consultant, a financial advisor, a therapist, you run an online program, like you really are your business. In that case, the core KPIs that you need to know for sure is how, so, and th this is the number one that we start with people because it makes the biggest difference on their bottom line. Bottom line meaning the amount of money that's actually going in your pocket after all your business expenses, you pay your taxes, that you actually take home and put in your pocket, because that's the number that really actually matters, right? Top line revenue, sort of irrelevant. So what we have them do is we have them plug in a few, we pull in automated data as much as possible through their bank accounts, their PayPal, their Stripe, all of that. And then we'll have them plug in any data that we're missing to help them to know what their KPIs and I's are and understand them. And often with solopreneurs, they automatically assume that the service that's bringing in the most amount of top line revenue, like it's usually their higher priced service, they assume that that's their most profitable. Because when they're looking at, say, their P&L, they're like, well, the income, so much of my income is coming from this service and I'm getting a lot per client. The service is, say, $3,000 or $5,000 a client or whatever. And then they have these other smaller price services. Often that's actually not the case. Often they will have a mid-tier service that if they calculate how much money it costs and time it costs to acquire that client, how much time and money it costs to actually deliver the service to that client, and what their average net profit was per hour that they put into delivering that client, it's usually eye-opening for people what's actually the most profitable. They'll have a service that, in fact, I was working with a user the other day. They swore that this high ticket thing was their most profitable. You know what they were netting on that? $83 an hour. They had a mid-tier service that when we ran the numbers, they were netting $321 an hour take home
Whoa.
pay. Right? So
Whoa.
I'm like, how about we sell more of these and less of these?
Well, and here's something else. I mean, I think a lot of people think, well, hey, I'm still making $83 an hour. That's great. But that's thinking about it from the perspective of if they were an employee making $83 an hour, that's great. If they're a business making $83 an hour, that's not great, is it?
Not great because you have all of these hours that you're making no money, right? Because you're doing like the admin on your business or this or that. And there's just so much that you take on as a business owner, including risk and high and low seasons and things you have to plan for, that $83 an hour really is not a lot to justify all of that.
Yeah. Well, I think it was last week. It was either last week or the week before I was talking to somebody, and he and I hadn't chatted in, almost 6 months, and we were just kind of catching up. And I was like, well, how's it going? And he said, last year we had record revenue. He said, but our profits dropped and we're having to make some adjustments. I interpreted adjustments as people got fired and how deflating that must feel. And I kind of sensed it in his voice that, he rang the bell, he chased the revenue, he hit it, hit his goal, but he hurt his business in the process. Why is that happening?
And it's so common that that happens, right? And it's just because you don't actually know those core KPIs, right? And so if you don't really understand your numbers, what's going on in your business, and how to make data-driven decisions on them, you're gonna for sure work too many hours and make not enough money. So like our core mission at Cashflowy is to help you make more money and keep more money, like more take-home profit. So yes, in that process, we're gonna make sure your bookkeeping is done and you're tax ready and you have a nice AI financial coach you get to chat with 24/7, and all of our customer service agents are actual bookkeepers. So if you end up wanting some human support, we have human bookkeepers that you can talk to as well. But that's all the just what's required to get you the end result. The end result is more cash in your pocket, more take-home money. And my personal mission is to have you actually work fewer hours for that. I think that planet Earth is a better place if we actually have white space, if we have time to breathe, if we have time to, follow passions and be with loved ones and take care of our health. And so we're now, especially with the power of technology, living in a world that you can have a very abundant, lucrative business that you enjoy doing some sort of good work in the world without overworking yourself. But it starts with your numbers.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I was talking to somebody else last week. I was helping him with his, and again this week, yeah, I was helping him with his presentation. And he's a Pinnacle Guide. Pinnacle Guide is sort of like EOS, but a little bit evolved. And he was showing me some numbers how you reach a point where you work more and you get less done. He was just kind of laying this out as, if you think the solution to your problems are to work more, you have no idea. You're missing the boat. And it was interesting as I was listening, I was like, because I was coaching him on, okay, how do we take a presentation and turn it into a story? And the story ended up being, well, it's kind of like when you get an injury. When we get injuries, what do? We start compensating for that injury. And all of a sudden, and compensating for that injury doesn't make things better, it actually makes the injury worse. And you never recover until you make a significant change. And usually, at least for me in my journey, that was going to physical therapy for a long while. And but I think for businesses, if they understand what's driving their business, do it better. So let's go this direction. So let's kind of independent of software. Let's just talk in general about What are some good financial decisions? What are some things I should be tracking in my business, or the average, let's say your average, small to medium business? What are some things that folks should be tracking, and what are things that they often overlook?
An easy one that is often overlooked is your subscriptions. You have so many annual and monthly subscriptions, and when you get busy in business, you lose track of them, and there'll be things that you stop using and you're continuing to pay for. So doing a quarterly audit of all of those subscriptions and things that you're paying for. So I would, that's just a quick, easy one to do. Another one then is looking at what can we automate, delete, delegate, get off my plate, maybe delegate to AI now. And then as part of that automate, delegate, delete process, is there some trimming that we can do on team? Can we be more efficient? One thing we do in my business that I've done in most of my businesses, or at least the last couple, is people get incented by how their results that they produced, not the hours worked. So, like you were talking about before, just working more doesn't get you a better outcome. And there's a lot of data that backs that up. There's big companies that move to 4-day work weeks, and then their actual productivity and output and results of the company, like revenue in the company, went up, right? Because people
Well,
had time to,
for us, years ago, I instituted a policy where we do a full week shutdown for Thanksgiving, and we do a 2 week shutdown for Christmas and New Year's. You know what the two most productive weeks of the year are? The week before we shut down for Christmas and the week after we get back. And the week before, it's just you have to get this done, and so you cut all the distractions out. But the week you get back, you have a clear, your mind's a clean slate.
Exactly. We did that this last Christmas. We rolled out our whole updated new version of the platforms. Everybody was just busting their butts, heads down, and got so much done. And then it was a celebration. It's like we did it, we hit the goal. Everybody go off for the holiday, have fun, recharge. And then everybody came back just fresh and happy and like ready to dive in. People had new, fresh, creative ideas when they got back. They had insights because we need white space in our lives, right? You need time to actually think. So it's yes, you need to know your numbers and what they mean so you can make decisions, but then you have to have time to actually like think on them and feel into them because it's both science and intuitive, right? Because it could be that your most profitable service is actually one that you the least like delivering. Okay, well, I wouldn't say that it's a good business decision then to double down on that. I would say you actually need to take a step back and you need to say, all right, well, this is what the numbers are telling me. This is the what I like doing though, and what produces the most results in my business. Like, what changes can I make where I feel like really aligned with what I the value I'm delivering and the money that I'm getting, and it makes sense for the business and it makes sense for me, emotionally and my energy and like all of that, right? So you have to have the bandwidth and the space to be able to really think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's, well, I would think I would liken it to something, I call it the shower moments, when you have those epiphanies in the shower.
Yeah,
That's that white space that you're talking about.
absolutely.
I have one recently where we're spinning up another brand called Fiduciary Alchemy that's targeting wealth managers. And I'm in the shower. I wish I could say I did this intentionally, but I didn't. It was accidental magic. And I'm in the shower, and all of a sudden it hits me. I'm like, oh, the initials of Fiduciary Alchemy is FA, like financial advisor. They all call themselves FAs. I was like, oh, that's cool. And like I said, I wish I could say that I intentionally did that was a strategic plan, but it's that white space that you're talking about by getting that clutter out, and all of a sudden you have those moments. And I was like, oh, well, and I've been debating what to do for my favicon, which is the little, when you bring up a browser and there's like a little logo on the tab, and the logo for Fiduciary Alchemy wouldn't work well on that. And all of a sudden I realized Oh, it's going to
FA.
be a stylized FA.
Yeah.
And that's like gold because my audience sees that. My target
Yeah.
audience sees that. And they're like, oh, you're talking to me. I wouldn't have
Yeah.
gotten there without the white space.
Totally. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I like that you said was about automation. I think I was talking to somebody, small business owner, would probably be, fit right in your demo, not a solopreneur, but still small. And he was saying, oh yeah, I just finished my monthly reporting. I'm like, really? I was like, how long does that take? It's like 3 days.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You're spending like
For
10% of
those that
your
are
month.
listening, you should have seen Heidi's face. It was like horror. It was absolute horror. Yeah.
Oh.
And he
Yeah,
should be
no. So we
horrified.
made cash flow so that solopreneurs on there can do all of their financial management in under an hour a month. And that's people who hate numbers, who's are brain blocked by bookkeeping, who, like it's that simple. Now, obviously, a bigger business with more complications is, going to need more. So I'm comparing, but 3 days for any, I mean, unless you're literally a CFO is your job and you're doing some kind of deep dive reporting that's going to help make hundreds of thousands of dollars for this business.
Yeah, no, I told him, I was like, dude, automate that. He's like, well, some I can, some I can't. I'm like, put the stake in the ground. Everything will be automated. All reporting will be automated unless I can prove there's no other way. And just put that stake in the ground, you'll find the path.
You'll find the path. Yeah. And it's becoming easier and easier and easier. And we're at the tip of the iceberg right now. The general public doesn't realize, for the most part, how fast things are moving in the world of AI and how different our lives are going to look in 5 years. I mean, we're going to be shipping robots to homes most likely in 5 years. And even in between now and there, all of the different things in your business that you can automate with AI is going to be incredible. It's becoming, the vibe coding is just in its early, early, early days, right?
Yeah.
Claude Bot, Now there needs to be guardrails. There are security issues. There's a lot of things that need to get worked out, but they're going to get worked out and they're going to start getting worked out quickly.
Well, and so let's wrap up with this because I'm kind of intrigued by what you're doing. When I look at companies like QuickBooks, it reminds me of SAP. Are you familiar with SAP?
No.
SAP is like this big enterprise ERP, planning. It's like your accounting and your materials planning all in one. And I worked for a company where we deployed it, and the CEO, he was a new CEO. He had been somewhere else, and that was one of his things he was doing was getting us on SAP. And he said, the good news is it only cost us $1 million to implement SAP. The bad news is it only cost us $1 million to implement SAP. It's this big German software that's become a standard. And when you buy the software, you end up spending more on the consultants to get it implemented in your systems. And I look at that, and I look at QuickBooks, and I'm like, you guys are like perfectly set up to be taken down, And I'll be honest, we use HubSpot a lot, and HubSpot I think is great software. I totally recommend it, but I'm seeing some early signs where I'm not convinced HubSpot's going to be the leader in 5 years that they are today. And so let's just talk about, do you see a point where QuickBooks loses their vaulted spot as the default software?
Well, the largest business segment in the US right now is the solopreneur, and they're the fastest growing. They're on track to be 42 million this year, and they're growing lightning fast. And for a solopreneur, QuickBooks is a absolute nightmare. Now, there are a lot of medium and large businesses, though, that are deep, deep, deep into QuickBooks, and they use certified QuickBooks accountants and bookkeepers and like all of that. And so QuickBooks will retain, I think, that business because people are just deep into it. They have their stuff worked out. They're just switching is such a big deal that there has to be a really, really good reason to switch. And so I don't know that a new player is going to come on soon here, maybe probably eventually. But for everyone else, they're already jumping ship on QuickBooks and not even trying QuickBooks. And so that market, and QuickBooks did roll out a product that they tried to make for solopreneurs. It's kind of a disaster. We have a paid account of that and we compare it to our software and it just doesn't even like begin to compare because it's old legacy thinking, right? And when you don't have, so when you've got a startup and the founder is like grinding in the startup and every day, you know, I'm laying in bed, I'm in the shower, I'm eating my breakfast, thinking about how we can make this experience better for our users, what we can do better for our users, how, you know, what our users need. I can't wait to get on and talk to users. You get these big legacy brands, it's just a machine that's running. No one's losing sleep over their users. They're just a grinding machine. I mean, that's why, like, Google, I am a fan of Gemini. With that said, pre-Gemini, I mean, Google really was stagnant and they still have a lot of things that could be just dramatically better because they're just an old, the founders are, you know, it's a long gone thing, right? It's now just a machine with a whole bunch of people with huge salaries that just clock in and do their thing and clock out and go to the Google gym and kick around a racquetball and, you know, so the founders, the scrappy founders on the ground, like they win the day in innovation and in user experience.
Well, and I believe the reason Gemini exists is because Sergey Brin came back. I don't know if you know that. The
Oh,
Elon.
right. Actually, I did. And yeah, that's actually a good point. I didn't even put those two together till you said that just now, but that makes sense, right? I mean, it was kind of like Jobs when he came back to Apple. You know, I mean, it was falling off the cliff and then Jobs came back and, you know, revived it and now they're stagnant again, right? There's
And one of the, this is a different story, but one of the leading contenders to be the next CEO has never launched an innovative product ever.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Like, you
Sell your
go.
Apple stock, people. Sell your Apple stock.
Well, hey, this has been so good. How can people reach you?
Yeah, come on over. Our website, if you want to check out Cashflowy, is cashflowy.ai, just spelled exactly cashflowy.ai. You can find me personally on LinkedIn and Instagram are kind of the only two socials I show up on here and there. Feel free to send me a DM if you think that there's, you know, partnership opportunity or you have a podcast you'd like to bring me on or something of that nature. Yeah, hit me up on LinkedIn or Instagram.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming on Leaders and Legacies.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Craig.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making an impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.